Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the NXT 2.0 review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflet and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a legal quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by the Dudley Boys to review NXT 2.0. What did you make of this week's show, Hamflet?
Crap. Mostly full of crap. It's a rubbish. It's a rubbish show. I'm going to have more fun talking about it with you guys than I did watching it.
Yes.
This felt on the blander side of the silly, I think is the best way to sort of cover it off in a one-liner. It continues to try and do NXT 2.0. Tits, ass, new people you don't understand. Like, every week there's...
It's like that.
there's quite a bit of that every single week. In that way that WWE always want to capture the new viewer. What if somebody's clicking over? How will they know who these people are? Well, it doesn't matter because they didn't exist last week. So there's that bit of wackiness, but I don't like it when it's too earnest for its own good. And there was a lot of bland matches on the show dragging down the wackiness.
The extent of my emotional investment in NXT 2.0.
That sounded like you doing a bad Geordie accent, even though it's your actual accent.
Investment.
Saudi Arabia, no investment. Fund.
The extent of my emotional attachment, cock, to this brand is I get annoyed when we have retrospectively missed the opportunity to play a game because we could have goddamn played
This is Your Thing
yesterday because it was a new gimmick. And I'm like, oh, why didn't we play it? It's like a jazz singer now.
Yeah. I think this show was kind of, it passed me by as well, but it was kind of summarized by the fact that I think it's fair to say that the NXT 2.0 Dome has the most hardcore of the hardcore. Mm. And even they were like, we're not calling him Gunther.
An absolutely remarkable hijack that nobody could have predicted. You've pointed this out, Cedric.
So performative.
The crowds have lost interest on Raw and SmackDown in hijacking anything anymore. They can't be arsed. They're watching AEW.
Yes.
Where like, they don't need to hijack a show because they get what they want on the other one.
And I think you'll find that the crowds were pretty reactive to Ronda Rousey's speech I saw on Monday Night Raw. They were pretty loud. Weirdly loud.
Yeah, almost too loud.
Suspiciously loud.
Loud.
Suspiciously.
All at the same time and in the exact same tone and timbre. That loud. Who would have had this specific crowd hijacking anything? What a great commentary on one of the more boring wrestlers in this six-man tag. It's happening. They are killing this guy, and it's not just because of his name.
When was the last time you heard a Gunther chop? It's meant to sound like a shotgun. Mm. Yeah. I can't remember hearing one in America.
It was surreal. Let's talk about the opening. It was surreal because it was Diamond Mine versus Imperium, Gunther, and the two stars, Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner. Like I said, they were chanting Walter throughout this entrance and poor commentary. Like, there he is, there's Gunther.
It's so funny that, isn't it? Like, I love that the crowd in the 2.0 Dome, the shit that they swallow every single week, and then they fold their arms angrily at Walter. And it's so weird, isn't it, how everybody's got their sort of levels of what's acceptable. Well, I'm absolutely not tolerating this. I'm actually quite a fan of latent racism and obvious overt misogyny, but I will not take this man's name being changed to Gunther. No, no, no. Bunch of fucking weirdos. Becky Lynch was right.
Yes.
You weirdos.
She was.
Yeah, so the match starts. Well, the match actually started before the bell rang because Gunther just kicked Roderick Strong as hard as he could in the face. And I thought, oh, that's a bit Walter-esque, that. But then he faded back into Gunther. It was a big fight to kick it all off. The Creed brothers come in and do Creed brother stuff.
Oh, sorry, before I forget, he's got like a little jazzy trunks now. You know what's this? He's got like a bit of pattern on his gear. It's like, just no.
Here's the one.
It's like he can't win because, like, I assume, I mean, for a variety of reasons, he got, you know, jobbed out relatively quickly when they had that Survivor Series because Vince McMahon looked at him and was like, ugh. And now he's got into shape and they've gone, cool. Well, your body looks great, mate. What if you were called Gunther, though?
What if we killed all that you're doing now?
Yeah.
You know, we've never had, not to my knowledge, but you see more of him than me, Cedric. We've never had a way kit Walter, have we?
I don't believe so.
Now, there's two contexts to this, because when Minoru Suzuki wears white, it's on. It's absolutely fantastic. Walter, previously, had he have worn white, special occasions, something like that, would have been incredible, because he's already bathed in that white light when he enters, and then when it reveals that the coat is white and the tights are white, it's like, this is a different kind of serious. In the context of NXT, it's like, when are you going to have the paintball splatters? It would look, it would feel different, wouldn't it? It's like, oh, he's wackying up. It's not just that, oh, he's harder than ever, like Suzuki is in white or something like that. Like, let's get Walter White.
Well, Gunther, a bit too close Gunther to his, it's a bit too close to what they were going for originally.
That's true, yeah.
So yeah, the Creed brothers, like I say, do Creed brother stuff. Brutus Creed suplexed Fabian Aichner, but Aichner did this regal roll and powered out of it. Looked great. Brutus, though, fights up, hands off to Julius, who just knees him right in the ribs. Gets broken up, though. Bartel hits a middle rope elbow to the face. Roderick Strong comes in, but he's still suffering the effects of that kick right to the head. He does run wild, but he's just, it's not all there, basically, as we go through the break. And then Creed brothers come in. They do that thing where they slap each other in the face. Double team powerbomb for a near fall. But in comes Gunther to break up the count. He goes up against Strong. But then Brutus Creed comes in. Gunther puts him in a sleeper. Creed escapes. But Gunther then blocks a lariat. Overhand right. Chops him down. Hits him with a powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. Imperium get the victory, Sige.
Yet again, Gunther is the worst part of Imperium. There wasn't much to this. I thought it was a good match. Let's face it, it was a good match. But there's an aura, a special dangerous feeling surrounding Walter that's just gone, completely gone. So much like it is in the wider picture, a 3.5-star match just doesn't mean anything on NXT anymore. And it's specifically dismally true in the case of Gunther Walter. Because I've just said, I can't hear his chops anymore. There's nowhere near enough piss and vinegar put behind them. There's not enough intensity and danger in these matches. It doesn't, like, any kind of final boss aura has just faded completely. There's one bit I want to isolate and put it over in itself, because in terms of the actual craft of pro wrestling, it was a sensational little spot. But it was just so much more sensational than anything Gunther did. Fabian Aichner, like, he's going to clock Roderick Strong clean in the face as hard as he possibly can, unless Strong ducks. The intent behind it is incredible. This sounds, the way I'm going to lay this out, the description sounds like, oh, it's a very clean and choreographed, smooth thing. Didn't it just felt like danger upon danger, a narrow avoidance of danger, and then the actual danger. He goes to hit him so goddamn hard because they're such great professional wrestlers who know exactly what they're doing and their timing is incredible. In one swift motion, does the punch, Roderick Strong hooks the arm, lifts him up, and just smashes him over his knee with a backbreaker. Any error in the timing here, someone gets punched clean in the face, and they don't do that because they're immense professional wrestlers. I'd love to see Aichner versus Roderick Strong one-on-one.
Oh,
it would be unbelievable, a lot more unbelievable than this match. I won Zeitgeist Heist as well.
Yes.
I need to put this over. I said on the preview yesterday, if you don't listen to that, it's better than the review realistically, so start prioritizing that. We play a game called Zeitgeist Heist because NXT 2.0 and its transparent bid to seduce the youth. We'll drop in a topical trending reference. See, we're with it too. You seen this? You heard about this? To prove that they're with it. And Wade Barrett, as I said he would yesterday, described the match breaking down here. It's like the last stakes gone at the Golden Corral.
That's a hell of a shout.
He listens, man. He's Will Bond's best mate.
Eh. I mean, I hope he's bantering it up, like, because he's good banter, Barrett, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you think from now on, we need to, because he's listening, so he listens to this too. So it's not like we're like plotting in secret behind his back. We all just need to give him a line, and then he gets to pick the best one and uses that. And it's a bit of a nod to each of us. It's like, oh, it was Will Bond's week this week or whatever. Like all of them, it just becomes.
I think we should try and make the most obscure reference as possible.
Yes,
just a weird game.
Seen this? I love it.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Boom.
We'll call it.
I like him, but he said boom a lot.
We'll call it lower the boom because like all NXT lowers the standards. Yeah. It's weird about it saying something.
Right, we go backstage, and there is LA Knight. Yeah!
Yeah!
He talks about how Grayson Waller's been ducking him, and the what's it called? Restraining order, etc. And he goes to walk off from this surprise interview that's been sprung on him, and in comes Harland and Joe Gacy, who says that Harland had to move on from an unfair restraining order, and maybe we can help you with the same. And LA Knight sort of plays along for a second before saying, why don't we all move on to the arena so I can get two more restraining orders and stomp your ass. And he said, that's not an insult, that's a fact of life. Yeah. Love him.
I've said this before, but I liked Stone Cold and The Rock too. And I just watched their highlights. He's all right, and he bless him. He's trying in both senses of the word.
Yes.
LA Knight.
I'm an LA Knight guy. Yeah. He pops me.
I'm an LA Knight guy more than I ever was an Eli Drake guy.
Yes.
And I didn't imagine when he signed in like later Triple H era NXT that I would say that.
Oh, God, I know.
It's bizarre how he's sort of found his place.
I'm going to say it now in case I forget to mention it in the match, but I love the stomps in the corner with the call and response from the crowd.
I love that last one. Like, he does the penultimate one, and then he flips the bird in the face, then he does that last one. Amod Hall has been well and truly walked dry by the end.
Spits on his foot. stomp, spit on the foot, stomp. Right, Toxic Attraction came out next with
the people's yell
with their titles. Gigi Dolin actually gets on the mic first to talk to Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada, saying, look, even the most unworthy people fall into luck sometimes, but she prefers to think of it as their death sentence because JC says...
Is that what people say?
You heard about this? Is that what people say this?
Sorry, Will, but I know it's bad form to talk over you, but this was trash, wasn't it?
This reminds me of, I can't remember who said this once, but someone told one of their mates turned around to them at school one day and went, not sure if you're aware, Sige, but everyone's not calling me Adam anymore. They're calling me Spud. He just tried to get his own nickname over. That's what it reminds me of. I'm just like, oh, yeah, everyone's saying this now. Are they? Or are you just saying that people say this?
Story from when I was younger and a house party had died down. All that was left was just people that were crashing at the house, right? So there's like not many people around and there's like the last beer's getting drunk and it's all getting nice and quiet. And then a lad who's no longer, I think I might have recently mentioned this guy, Todd, we'll call him hypothetically, that was his real name, just ripped one of the most monstrous IRL farts I've ever heard, and we're like, incredible. Like, the stuff that sticks with you, the noise, the execution, the timing, his stance. Like, you weren't going to care if it stunk. I don't even think it did, because the noise was so, like, impressive, right? And it was, like, to a closed door where there were other people on the other side that were, like, doing a, come on, keep it down, trying to get to sleep, and we were the last ones up having beers. Like, now I'm older, I can't decide which side of the door I'd rather be on, because I was having a more fun time in the room, but they were just trying to get some kip. So he's done that in response to that, right? What a moment. And then he goes, bring it on, punks. All of us turned on him. He was pretty much pushing it, like that stuck with me for all these years, that he's like, well, you killed that. That was the greatest moment of your life, and you fucked it. He's like, bring it on, punks. Like, I'm seeing an old mate at the weekend. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to, like, direct him to this podcast and say, look, it's out there now. The story's there. This fart was, like, Hall of Fame worthy. Bring it on, punks. I don't know how he did it. It was incredible.
Oh, dear.
So,
I feel like I hate this guy.
Yeah.
You would.
So anyway, Jason Jay announces they're putting their tag team titles on the line at Vengeance Day. Mandy Rose starts to talk, but out comes Kaylee Ray. She says it's time for Mandy to give her the title match that she wants. Mandy Rose says no. And Kaylee says, oh, I thought that'd be your answer. She's brought the bat with her. Mandy says, look, put the bat down.
Floyd.
Put the bat down and you know, the rest of us will leave. So she does, and out go JC Jane and Gigi Dolin. Kaylee Ray comes in. She says she's the longest reigning champion of the modern era. If anyone deserves a title shot, it's her. Mandy says, I don't care about that. She talks about her accomplishments, ad campaigns, magazine covers, being the bikini world champion.
Seven magazines. Like, me and Hamphlet both know that John Cena's been on about 500.
Cena, Orton, Cena, Orton. You got to go with the stars. I know, but I'm embarrassed in Smith's, Finn.
She says she's the epitome of what every woman aspires to be and what every man wants to be with. Kaylee Ray says, well, that doesn't compare to in-ring skill. I was the champion for 647 days. I dominated an entire continent whilst you were falling on your ass on the WrestleMania ramp and sucking Otis's face off.
Did
get a huge bap from me. But Mandy says she's the hottest thing in WWE. She's what they need as a champion. To be completely transparent and in the nicest way possible, all the talent in the world will never replace this. And Kaylee Ray says, I don't care about that. I'm getting a title match by the end of the night. Rose laughs at her. Kaylee Ray slaps her in the face, and then Toxic Attraction run in to make the save for Mandy Rose. Not a fan of this pamphlet.
No, I mean, it was risible content before Kaylee Ray hit the ring. Just more like Toxic Attraction nonsense. I don't want to blame the performers entirely, but they never elevate the bad material.
Never.
Like, they never, ever elevate the bad material. So if they had like that certain charisma that certain wrestlers have, where you know that this is heavy-handed WWE scripting, but they're kind of like trudging through the sludge, as Cameron Grimes might do or someone like that, they can't, and that's annoying and it's frustrating. So you're really turned off by the characters.
It feels like, yeah, if it wasn't scripted, it feels like they'd been told, like the elevator pitch of like, this is this group of people, like Mandy Rose literally said, is the sort of people that women want to be and men want to be with.
But women might want to be with her.
And they said, yeah. But they said,
it was just like the white straight writers who write this stuff never even consider it.
No, exactly.
And a vintage Pritchard McMahon joint cell phone as well, wasn't it? What are you, a wrestler? It's a wrestler. This is World Entertainment. We don't need wrestlers. Like, it's like, this is just, if ever there was any doubt, when we talk about how sometimes on NXT 2.0 there is at very least some stories that have consequences and something will happen 3 weeks ago that will actually matter in a few weeks' time, which is bizarre that it happens here and not on Raw and SmackDown. But if there was ever any doubt that now they've definitely got the hand on the wheel, it was this promo. Because it's one thing for her to say it, it's another thing for her to brag about it. Like, I'm the woman's champion. You know what that means. You got to get your tits out.
Also, it didn't seem to be mentioned quite as much as I was expecting it to be, but did Kaylee Ray kidnap Toxic Attraction?
Yeah,
like the segment after
boot the car, wasn't it?
The segment after that, they were getting in the car to leave. Mm. I've skipped ahead from what happened with Raquel and
can Cora we do Jade. The whole thing? Can we do the show long angle?
We could do it all at once if you want, because yeah, she's they're getting in this car that's waiting for them, and as far as I'm aware, the tag team get in, and Mandy Rose can't open the door. And the window comes down and it's Kaylee Ray and she just drives off. I initially thought she'd just stolen their car. And then I was like, oh no, wait, she's kidnapped them. And they just went, yep, Mandy Rose is on her own now. I was like, what?
She's driving them into a ditch.
It's a show long angle for WWE, isn't it? That's how they do it, yeah.
Do you want to let's do the whole thing.
Like, can I just talk about, the verbiage is terrible, the delivery's terrible. Like, it's not just transparent cockbait, like pensioner cockbait, Toxic Attraction. It's not just bad in like concept, like the execution, the facial expressions, the dialogue, the delivery of the dialogue. It's potentially the very worst act in all of pro wrestling. Like, genuinely, it's absolutely abominable, man. And this show long angle was bobbins, absolutely bobbins. Like,
Recap it.
Well, I'm making an executive decision. We're not going to do it all at once because I want to save, because we've got to trudge through a lot of bollocks here.
Okay.
And I need, you know, like you say, or I need a little something at the end to keep me going.
Oh, there's one bit we need.
I don't want to skip past the boys.
All right.
Idris and Malik made this show. Yeah. So that's coming. Stick around. We then got
Raquel. Everyone's coming. It's NXT 2.0.
Raquel Gonzalez versus Cora Jade. Beforehand, as I said, there was a bit with Mackenzie backstage chatting to Cora Jade. She said she wanted to prove to Raquel that she's tough enough and that together they can win the Dusty Classic. She might get her ass kicked, but she's going to prove that she can hand. In comes Raquel and says, you can still back out. And Cora says, no. And then we got the match, and Raquel Gonzalez battered her, chucked her around like an empty tracksuit, in the words of Adam Nicholas. Jade did make a comeback after Gonzalez had hit with like a spinning side effect and shoulder backbreaker, lots of near falls. Cora Jade fights back, comes off the top rope. Gonzalez just catches her, goes for the black hole slam, but Jade counters into a black widow. Gonzalez manages to break out of it, but misses a big move, and Jade counters, rolling up Gonzalez for a near fall, and then fires up, springboards into Hurricane Rana, but Gonzalez then catches Jade in midair, power bombs her, 1, 2, 3, but Michael Hamflet, Cora Jade has earned Raquel Gonzalez's respect. Gonzalez shakes her hand and says, let's go win this. They are a team ahead of the Dusty Cup.
Yeah, it was a deadly disagreement on the finish yesterday, but it was basically a coin flip between the two WWE tropes, isn't it? It's either they go for the fluky roll-up, celebrating on her arse on the ramp, then she's in the team, and I went with the Undertaker respect guy, where like he would have a match with somebody, and then after the fact, he'd be like, good job, kid. I mean, you go hunting out for some boom-tang pie sometimes, because I respect you now as a man.
I respect the women. Let's go make some women cry. I used to be dead. Soon I'm going to be dead again, but I'm still chewing tobacco. Hey, Orlando Jordan, I respect you. Hey, John Cena, I respect you.
Like, this was what that was. They love all of that. Nonsense. Rubbish. Bobbins. The match was nowt to write home about, really. Raquel Gonzalez is a strange one. So her woman's title run really underwhelmed. And with this being developmental, you're like, well, all right, so maybe the road wasn't straight to the main roster because they've done everything. In reality, she probably has to develop all over again and win the title again and see if it works second time around. But because she has had the title and she's got that like CWC or NXT on her, there's this idea that she was the token veteran in this match, and she's not. So they've not, just because of the size disparity, they kind of put this together as her doing the Undertaker bit and being like, you're pretty good, Cora Jade, but you're not as good as me. I've had a whole year in this business. You've had 6 months. And you cannot buy it. You cannot buy her as this, the conscience of the NXT locker room, because she's not, you know? And as a result, I think the respect thing just didn't really work for me, and it was just predictable that we were going to get. Again, why create the reason to be like, they're going to team together? Can people just not be mates? Cora Jade just not, like, can Raquel Gonzalez not just be like, you know what, we do have different hobbies, but we're baby faces, and I wouldn't mind winning the cup. I won it last year, and it propelled me to a title shot. There you go. Like,
you're impressed with me at War Games.
Yeah. Can you just be friends and get in that way?
It's funny you said, oh, the match is nothing to write home about, without being a complete arsehole about it. That makes a Cora Jade's best singles match ever. Like, there was not one flub, there was not one awkward bit of miscommunication. They told a very simple story without outstaying its welcome quite well. Like, legitimately, it's a measure of her improvement. So that's why I watch the show.
I really hope, rather than... What was
you can't call it like a carry job, though, can you? Because it's not a carry if you make it to, like, 2 stars.
Yeah.
Well, she really got it to the next level. Yeah, but the first level was 1 star. Right there.
What was the thing called yesterday when you skateboard next to a...
Skitching.
I hope they don't do that. I hope. Just to really add, because that bike's a weird bike, isn't it?
It's a strange old bike.
Get one with a sidecar.
Yes.
They're in the sidecar. Whoa.
Sidecorer.
What?
Sidecorer.
Right, we get a recap of Dunn smashing Tony D'Angelo's hand. Dunn cuts a promo talking about how he took advice from Tony's cousin, Tulio, about handling business by any means necessary. And he did the hands. Like, that's too far. You'd never catch me doing the hands when I was doing a Tony D'Angelo impression.
Real boy, you've not got a collar. Why are you still popping it?
Hey, I'm talking here. He says, he challenges him to a steel cage match, basically. That's out of nowhere, isn't it?
I mean, the thing with, like, this promo is that the hilarious contrast between Triple H's vision and Vince going, fucking shit, bro. Pete Dunne doesn't belong in wacky, plunder-themed feuds with mobster gimmicks because he's not a TV wrestler with any kind of TV magnetism or presence. He's a guy who'll give you 25 amazing minutes at the Leisure Centre or, like, nightclub.
No one tell Vince McMahon about Peaky Blinders.
Or, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Or New Japan Pro Wrestling, let's face it.
Yeah.
Like, he could cut a serviceable, coherent promo in one of those, like, sweat-drenched pressers, and then he can just do his thing for 25 minutes, and he'll have an audience. Just the idea of Triple H going, right, okay, this is the future. It's like, no, it's not. Like, Pete Dunne's amazing at what he does, but he's not a TV wrestler. And to see him do non-more TV wrestling is just the oddest transition I think I've ever seen in pro wrestling.
Yeah,
like seeing the Bushwhackers in 96.
It's
like seeing the Patriot on Raw.
Now.
In 97.
Or just in 97. Oh, yeah, in the middle of a blood feud with Bret and Shawn. It's like, flag guy.
He has a 93 guy who failed to replace Hulk Hogan, except it's been like 4 years since he was last year. Like, what?
You can't imagine the bruiserweight. Like, he's training in some really grotty gym. And the trainer's like going back and forth with holds and like, you know, holding the gloves up so he can punch him. And it's like, what are you training for, Pete? Well, I lost the crowbar match, so I'm going to have a cage match. It doesn't really marry up, does it, with this character?
Against Tony Soprano.
Yeah, rubbish. And I'm sick of this feud.
Oh, God.
So, like, what, Dunne wins and then what? Like, do they have to have, would that be 2-1 to Dunne or wouldn't that necessitate a decider? I can't even,
I don't care.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Well, next we got the return of Saray, and everyone had concerns can clearly, you know, put those to rest now because she was only a schoolgirl backstage. You see, nothing to worry about. He's just called Gunther, guys. He's not got a Nazi name. She was wearing the schoolgirl outfit with the glasses and the
magic necklace.
Magic necklace.
She's got a magic necklace.
More mysticism.
And then she walks into the arena and she's just in a regular wrestling gear. And then it's the Saray we knew and loved before. She just worked a match.
With a magic necklace. That, for all we know, could have the keys to Boa's transformation. It could have green inside it. It's a magic necklace.
Do you watch Moana? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Moana's amazing.
Moana's class.
Yeah.
That's what he's seen with the magic necklace.
What, the heart of the island is in? Yeah. Christ, imagine watching Moana and that's your takeaway. Like, big colour gem! you know the guy...
He would have watched it as well, to be fair, because his boy's in it, so...
That's true,
yeah. Try and make another one of him.
rather than the object, create the character. Yeah, like, NXT's problems in a nutshell.
Like, The Rock's in this film.
Yeah.
That's a real quiz.
Hey, actually, tell me more about that chicken.
It's a character called Chicken Man. When I was a young chicken clucking around the farm, laying eggs, I wanted to come to NXT 2.0 and prove myself.
Let's book Chicken Man next week for This Is Your Thing.
Yeah.
Remind everyone, because we'll not remember. This podcast finishes, and I feel like I'm Men in Black myself, and just go, well, never remember that forevermore.
I trained in a battery farm.
Yeah, but Saray is great when you just let the wrestlers wrestle.
Kick didn't have much oomph on it this time around, did it?
Weighed down by a fancy necklace.
Yeah, this is true.
She battered Kayla Inlay, though. Double stomp to the stomach. That drop kick that she does in the ropes, and then she hit a suplex to get the victory. I just don't need anything else. She was fine as she was, wasn't she?
She was. It always comes up, doesn't it, on NXT especially. It's wrestling is not kind to women at the best of times. It's even less kind to Asian women, or not at this point, non-American wrestlers, basically, are getting the short shrift. So I don't see this ending well for Saray. I think they've tried to walk it back. I think lost in the Gunther Stark conversation was some very reasoned takes on that character too. And I think actually what we saw was a bit of a... I know she was back in the gimmick later on for the face-to-face with Dakota Kai, but I think they've scaled that way back from whatever their original plan was.
I will say this,
I think they've just doubled down on how problematic their portrayal of Asian performance is. Not only is she schoolgirl, but she's also mystical.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I'll talk about that now, actually. She's got the necklace on. She's getting interviewed talking about dedicating the win to her grandmother, and in comes Dakota Kai, who says, look, I know that necklace is important to you, but I'm crazy. You must know that no matter how important a relationship is, the sun always sets on it. A load of bollocks, all this, but Saray versus Dakota Kai could be an absolute banger next week.
Yeah, and another promotion.
What a stupid line. What an absolutely stupid line.
Must get the wordplay in.
Yeah.
Speaking of transformations, whoa, what a change Duke Bloody Hudson's gone through. He talked about attacking Dante Chen, and he said he's only addicted to pain and making people suffer now. Chen was the first hit.
They're all addicted to pain or sex. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other.
Do you like pain or do you like sex?
It's like two customs things at an airport. You go through the pain one and the alarm goes off. Nope, the other sex one. You go through the other one. Pick one or the other.
Dexter Loomis can go through both.
Yep.
The other one. He's jank cack.
His cock goes through one, he goes through the other.
But he's done playing games. He makes his own look now. And he's got a slightly shorter haircut.
I mean, it's absolute drivel. It is. It's one of those things where this is such drivel that I get amused by the very notion of someone like watching this earnestly or reviewing it earnestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I just like kicking ass now. Good. Well, you're a combat athlete. You probably should have thought of that before you started playing poker at your job as a wrestler.
All my life I've been playing poker. No one a hand. realized it was time for change.
They went back to the poker room and they were like, sorry, mate, we don't have new players. And he's like, it's me. And they're like, Duke? Oh, my God. You've changed so much.
The haircutting bit was so funny. You cannot do that when you just go, oh, all my life I've been a grade 4. I'm going to a grade 3. And no, nobody's
going
to stop me.
It's like me coming in and going, I'm not sure you've noticed, lads. I've had a shave. I can't grow facial hair anyway, so it doesn't matter. Right, next up. Next up, we've got Bron Breakker. He's in the locker room when, guess who turned up, Sig? Old man Ciampa.
Keep off his lawn.
Yeah, don't go to the change room. Old man Ciampa's in there.
Old man Ciampa at the fucking gym would be one of them ones that just walks around with his knob out, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate those guys.
He dries come his out balls the shower. With a hairdryer.
They come out the shower, not... like I would, shrouded in absolute shame, with my towel not just around my waist, but like a lady, around my boobs, to cover my upper body that I'm ashamed, my upper body I'm ashamed of, and my penis. No, those guys come out drying their neck.
Yeah.
They're just like flossing their neck. Oh, I just had a shower. Yes, there's your dick and balls. We've all got them in this changing room. I don't need to see them. I'm going to stare at my locker and get my clothes on as quick as I can and try not to feel the tears forming behind the back of my eyes. Like a normal person. Oh, be normal.
God. But my legs are wet and now my pants have got wet because I've had to drag them past.
Trousers on the floor. Run around old man Champa's puddle.
It's a nice old man Champa's throwing chairs around again. He hasn't been the same since DIY. Yes.
Why does old man Champa always do his sit-ups in the changing rooms? In the nude.
Been the same since DIY.
Ever since little Johnny left. Don't talk to him about little Johnny. Nobody ever asked me about little Johnny. Maybe I wanted to answer questions, but nobody ever asked. What did old man Champa say?
Mountaintop's a lonely place. You don't understand until you're there.
I don't know why he's like an old prospector now.
An old man Champa, molasses just flow out of your mouth.
And he said, Breaker, respect that and thanked him for the help for tonight.
Champa says, hey, I want to make sure you stay NXT champion,
which was slightly ominous, but Breaker didn't pick up on it whatsoever.
Everything he says is ominous. He could tell his missus that he loves her, and it would be like, oh, are you going to kill her? No, I think he was basically trying to put across the idea of...
sorry, old Mar Champa.
I think he's trying to put across the idea of, I don't want to take Legado del Fantasma on by yourself. You don't want to go down that road.
Take care of that title, because I ain't got fucking anything to do anymore, so I might as well try and win it back.
What happened next?
Sometimes dead is better.
You're like this, Sige.
Let me tell you about my time I dug for Goldie. It was a rush on for Goldie. That's why I have a shovel.
Right, you will actually like this next bit, Sige, because it was the good bit of the show. Carmelo Hayes came out, flanked by Trick Williams, of course, to cut a promo. They just, like you tweeted this, but I'm sure the Cedric Mega fans will forgive you. They just surpass everything, don't they? They rise above everything.
Well, they do, because I isolated some verbiage from this promo, and it was absolutely a bobbins. It was so bad. There were WWE writer is essentially a hack who knows how to just about spin some kind of wordplay out of summit, a marketing catchphrase or a gimmick.
Gives 50 words on the sun.
Yes.
It's like, right, well, we're giving that to Dakota Kai this week. Right, well,
so
fine.
Even if it makes so little sense that it actually makes, like, it actually underscores how stupid a nickname or something is, this, like, kind of impresses, like, Bruce and Vince. Oh, sounds like a TV program to me.
They know how to tell stories.
They know how to tell stories with their fans at all. Because when the cat's back, and he's tired of the Undisputed Era playing in a kiddie later. That was the kind of thing. Oh, that's impressive, that. I'll write that one down.
You threw me down the stairs, but you forgot I always land on my feet. You did it 8 times, you forgot how many lies I had.
So in this, so basically it's Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes being awesome, saying rubbish things if you read them on the paper, but they're just awesome, they're the best. Cameron Grimes comes out to interrupt, and then the dude, like, Cameron Grimes, he likes to say that he's going to the moon. What can we say? Right, okay. Got it. Yeah, I'll go on to the moon, and on the way I'm going to make the casualty of the stars. What? Just the mental image conjured of, like, Carmelo Hayes zipping about outer space, just, like, doing things to stars.
Yeah.
What? Is he talking about how he's going to beat a lot of wrestlers who are considered stars on the way? Or
yes, I think so.
What was this? But it's
they did the literal stuff with the Cameron Grimes got involved in it, like the one-star match stuff, and it's like, yeah. What are we talking about, space or wrestling? I don't even know anymore.
There was a SpongeBob reference.
There was, yeah.
So this was all rubbish on the page, but I still think Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams are the coolest guys.
Eight adjectives later.
Yeah. Trick Williams is the only person who can genuinely sell getting angry at being called Squidward. He's like, oh, well, if you're, because you've got a pineapple haircut and you're SpongeBob, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean? You Squidward? And he's like, you, what? He's brilliant, Trick Williams. They're both brilliant. They're all brilliant. He's going, Cameron Grimes. Don't forget Cameron Grimes. I think we've kind of summed this whole thing up. I've not gone through it verbatim,
It's weird, isn't it, that like in Trick and Carmelo and Bron Breakker, there was this big bang, and all these characters were spat out in the aftermath on NXT 2.0 Episode 1. And like, out the box, these were exactly as they are now, exactly right, and constantly improving, because you only know more about them and they know more about themselves. But that's like 2 out of about 100. Like, the batting average on NXT 2.0 is terrible. And yet, because Bron is working and like Hayes and Williams are great, they're going to thinking, we're nailing this. Mm. Yeah, this is exactly how you do it. And it's like, no, like, three are good. Absolutely everything is a fucking mess, but three are good. It's an inverse Dynamite.
Guess what? They're all short as well. We've got any chance.
They're all going to fail. Yeah, like, it's an inverse Dynamite. These are the Matt Hardy bits of 2.0.
Yeah.
That's what's going
on
here.
Right, yeah. Well, they're not just three. There's five, because guess who came next? Our boys, Idris and Ofe.
Yes.
And Malik.
Same again, like, out the box. Like, they did this promo last week where nobody else gets over just constantly having sex on NXT 2.0. And then these two do. So it's like, we've done it again. Right, everybody starts spunking everywhere because it works for everybody.
So, yeah, they're in the locker room and they're talking about
spunking.
The fact...
Spunking!
They've got the semi-final...
Bring it on, spunks.
They've got the Dusty Cup match next week, but they haven't got a tag team name. They're just Malik Blade and Idris and Ofe. And he goes, what about Idris and Malik? And Malik does the whole, yeah, I like that, Malik and Idris. And he says, well, what are we? What can we use to describe us? We're bold, we're brave, and we're... Malik jumps in, confident. So why don't we become Team BB? Whoa! Careful. He says, why don't we ask Mandy Rose for some help? And Malik plays, oh, not too sure. And he says, well, look, why don't you just shut your eyes, pretend she's here. What would you say to her? And he shuts his eyes and he starts to say, hi, Mandy, I'm Malik. And Mandy Rose, because she's running away from Kaylee Ray, barges in and falls into his lap. And Malik Blade, without missing a beat, just looks up and goes, thank you, like that. And my favourite bit is when she goes, she's trying to get away from this insane Kaylee Ray, and she's like, you got to help me. And Malik immediately goes, I'll do anything. Brilliant. So Kaylee Ray comes in, there's a brawl. I can't get over this. Malik Blade is there watching this. Idris and Ofe shouting, right? Kaylee Ray and Mandy Rose are brawling. I'm like, yeah, cool, don't care. Turn around, I want to see what's going on with Idris and Ofe, because, yep, he's bobbing his tits with every word that he says.
He was motorboating himself.
Yeah,
it was absolutely incredible. The movement of these things. Unbelievable. Like, that is it. Wrestling is weird, and that is a skill within it. I will fight for that.
Yes.
Like
So they Kaylee Ray and Mandy brawl out of the room, and Idris is like, we got to follow it. And Malik has got Mandy Rose's coat over his lap. And he says, I need a minute. And he's like, no, come on, we got to go and follow him. And he's like, I need a minute. What's he referencing here?
He got an erection in his cack.
You know there's like a no-blading rule in WWE, but shoot blood is fine. Yeah. And it all rushed down there.
Great, this.
Piss funny. Again, just said earlier on the podcast, yeah, the difference in these segments and in this material is about the ability of the performers to elevate it. Like, I thought Mandy Rose, and this was probably the strongest Mandy Rose Kaylee Ray segment for them as well as for Idris and Malik Blade, but I like these feel great. I do. It's an NXT thing now. I'm starting to worry about how long the acts I love can really last, because like they're shaggers now, but so are Briggs and Broggs.
Oh,
so something's got to
no,
give.
No, they're not. They're quite clearly
they're the
not
opposite
shaggers.
Of it. But like, something's got to give there, and at some point or another, it's all going to overlap, or you're all going to feel bored or whatever. But right now, Idris and Ofe and Wendy Chu remain like two of my favorite acts in all of wrestling. And they just can't, there's no way they keep that momentum. There is absolutely no way they don't kill this within like 6 weeks.
This sort of segment underscores just how much Vince McMahon further ruins just rubbish products, rubbish content. Can you remember, like, the summer of last year, you were really taken, this is like the curve we talk about, you were really taken by a SmackDown segment that built, that compounded the misery of Happy Corbin, or like the loser version of Corbin.
Yeah.
And actually built on a so long thing
so
they were
great,
doing,
yeah,
where
yeah.
they were trying to work out how to do the tank, and they were having issues with the tank, and he didn't know why they were having issues with the tank, and he realised they're having issues with the tank, because when they finally work it, the guy who's just about his lowest ebb can get hit in the balls with the thing that comes out of the tank.
Owen's wanting to give him $20 on the proviso that he just stopped being such a dickhead.
Yes.
The whole thing was like really nicely done.
NXT 2.0, despite being a rubbish show, kind of does things like this every week.
Mm.
In terms of linking storylines, overlapping things, everything individually is rubbish, but the kind of there are enough writers in there who've got enough grasp of the craft to put these things together. They hire them in WWE because they're literally in NXT. Vince McMahon might just be rubbishing away the most basic storyline ideas and then just unraveling everything. I'll give them 10 minutes and then a DQ.
Mm. It's oddly, because of the rules of the universe, if there are still any that are adhered to in WWE, that segment that we've just discussed as a backstage thing in NXT 2.0 makes more sense than an interview interruption in AEW.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, one thing, you completely understand how that goes on in the corridors of the NXT 2.0 dome versus backstage on a Dynamite when that's supposed to be a sport.
Yeah.
One does work more than the other.
I felt like I'd had an affair next. As we go immediately from Malik and Idris. No, we go to the grizzled young veterans, and it's like, oh, gone off their mouth now, have you? Because I'm like going, oh, we've got to get Malik and Idris.
Your sex and your ex.
Yeah. They come in, and they had an argument with
they're coming. Everybody's coming.
They are coming. Remember when Imperium were coming over Mandy Rose as well? That just got dropped.
And then we started coming over Imperium.
Yeah.
They argue with Diamond Mine, basically, and they say that Bivens is making their job to beat the Creed Brothers next week easier because they keep picking fights, and Bivens calls them nerds. Nothing really to report on here. Let's move on instead to LA Knight.
The See You Next Tuesday thing.
Oh, yeah. See You Next Tuesday,
Little bab.
I don't get that.
Because it's...
Very good. Just a bit of fun. Just a bit of fun for the boys.
LA Knight, Joe Gacy, Knight dominates early on, stomps in the corner. Hits a jumping neck breaker, hits his power slam, hits his leaping elbow drop, goes for the stunner, but Gacy knocks him to the outside. In the midst of all this, Horland distracts the referee. In comes Sanger, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. Grayson Bloody Waller's bodyguard. He distracts LA Knight, and Waller hits this sort of rolling stunner thing that he does. Knight just gets back into the ring to break the 10 count. And Joe Gacy just hits that mint handspring clothesline thing that he does and gets the victory. Post-match, in comes Warlow to yell at LA Knight. Sanger grabs him as he lunges for him. Choke slams LA Knight. And Warlow says that if Knight can beat Sanger next week, maybe the restraining order will be gone.
Don't know, because I thought the match was all right. Joe Gacy is good at about four things, and he did them all here. So you get your. It's like when your football team signs a player that you've never heard of, and you search the name on YouTube. And conveniently, it's not just a case of them like misplacing passes or getting yellow cards or whatever. It's everything is awesome that they've ever done. That's how
Goals
they
and skills.
That's how they try an agent the proper Joe Gacy matches on NXT.
We talked about how Vince likes him. He's doing a face a lot now.
I hate his face.
I don't like that at all, but that's not for us, is it? As you say, that's for Vince while he does the moves that are theoretically for us, but like other than us, who's even watching? Yeah. So I didn't hate this. I don't particularly mind. Gone are the days, long gone are the days where I'll be particularly critical of, like, this is a finish, but it's a cheap one. You know, you've got run-ins and overlapping characters. And it's like gone are the days where I'll be asked about that because none of this show matters enough for you to fight for a particular storyline. This was troubling in the sense that virtually everybody on screen is part of this new class of wrestlers that you should be really behind. And I felt nothing, felt deep in my heart, nothing for any of them.
Well, nothing for this. I don't care about any of it.
LA Knight, you're not going to fight for his push online, are you?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, we can all, like, enjoy mimicking him. He enjoys mimicking people. But he's not a wrestler you're going to particularly want to fight for.
One who we are is Von Wagner. You know why? Because he's got hard. And Robert Stone is taking care of him now. He's also
got a jacket.
You know,
can't quite put on.
You know who else had a jacket? The Fonz. Sunday, Monday, come Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, come Tuesday. Von Wagner would be the guy that hit the jukebox and turned it off, wouldn't he? I don't like this music.
He'd hit the condom machine. Stop playing music. Anyway, Robert Stone is...
Ripped for her pleasure.
He's been doing the entertainment stuff for too long, but he's watched Von Wagner destroy people, so that's why he paid his fines, and he's going to continue to do so, because he's the future. This is Von Wagner's world.
We're just living in it.
In the words of the man himself.
Yep, very good.
That is a really cheeky way of saying, I've been a complete loser my entire career. I've been doing this entertainment stuff too long. I've always sucked.
And when I was sick in the ring. Right,
wasn't that Pritchard's first NXT?
Like, was it?
That was like the story came out, like, Pritchard has been taking them into NXT lately.
Yes.
The picture associated with somebody vomiting in the ring.
Start of Showtime, Wendy Choo's in action. She faced Amari Miller. Beforehand, though, we saw Amari Miller getting ready when who should sneak up to her, but Tiffany Stratton. she encourages Miller to take out Choo, and if she did, she'd take her shopping afterwards. But this is Wendy Choo. She's made a stern of stuff. I love her. I think she's fantastic, and I love the fact that it isn't just, you know, we talked about it before when she was in that tag match where she did the Matrix and dodged a clothesline. You're like, okay, right. But how do you, like, balance the gimmick with the moves? Like, sometimes people go like, oh, this is my gimmick, and then they get in and they've just got, you know, create a wrestler moveset sort of thing.
I play poker. How's that going to help you in wrestling? I play poker.
So Wendy does include this. She dodges a clothesline, then tries to have a nap. Like, ducks underneath him. It's like bedtime, I think. Tries to have a nap. Amari Miller goes after her, and she is presumably all of your children when you try and get them up for school. Just piss off, just like kicking her away. Then she does like a takedown. She goes for Amari Miller's leg, takes it down, then tries to fall asleep on top of it, tries to use her leg as a pillow. And then when Amari's like, get off, she's like, right, if I've got to put you away so I can hurry up and get back to sleep, basically. Hits her with a drop kick, a bloody super kick off the ropes, elbow drop. Well, not just an elbow drop. I don't know how to describe this in an audio form, but it's it's basically when Punk used to signify the go to sleep, keep that position and just drop your elbow on someone. She got a two count for that. Amari Miller did fight back, but Choo just went, I want to go to bed. So she just struck her way out, clothesline Miller. Release German suplex, handstand splash, suplex. Of course she puts Amari Miller in a bloody sleeper. That just writes itself, doesn't it? But Miller snapmares out of it, hits a code breaker. She gets a near fall. Down comes Tiffany Stratton to the ring and tries to slide in a credit card for Amari Miller.
What's that going to do?
What is that going to do?
That would be useful. And that allows Choo to roll her up. She kicks out at two and then she just... And elbows are in the jaw. 1, 2, 3. Wendy Choo gets the win and heads off to go back to bed, one would assume. In comes Tiffany Stratton to yell at Amari Miller. She says, we had a deal. Get my card back. Amari Miller's like, oh, sorry, I don't know where it is. I've got it. And she's like, where is it? And there's Wendy Choo. She's got the card. She legs off with it. And that's preview fodder next week, isn't it? What's Wendy Choo going to have bought with the credit card?
Yeah, pajamas.
A massive bed. An enormous bed.
Yeah.
Like, I want an entire room of Choo next week. Like, Wendy Choo. She's just decked out an entire place.
I don't like this.
Oh.
I thought the Matrix spot was like, right, okay, that's cool. I like that other people like it, genuinely.
Is it because it's better than Orange Cassidy?
Legitimately need a piss. Is what is there a vignette that I'm going to miss? You can talk about Wendy Choo for 2 minutes. I just need a piss. It's I don't think it's particularly amusing. I do like the fact that she's clearly relishing it. I like how you can feel a good time has been had trying to flesh out this character, and you can tell people are having fun pitching certain spots. It's not for me, but I can see why people like it.
We've been doing this podcast about 4 years now. So especially when...
I need the jazz singer. Don't skip past the
Okay, you got
especially
time.
When there's NXT in the title, people will know that my standards are low. or certainly lower. And I've got a lot of patience for this, which is certainly why I like it. Thing is, by acknowledging that, I'm also self-aware enough to know that this probably can't last. They're going to run out of ideas. I love that they're still having them. They must have seen the response to the Matrix yawn spot. And I'd like to think this is on her as much as... I don't want to just credit a bunch of writers for coming up with spots for her. I want to think of her having the... What do we talk about when we talk about AEW? The freedom of expression. Mm. The artistic endeavour and the artistic expression to come up with things that make sense with your character. Duke Hudson cannot apply his quote-unquote success in the poker world to a wrestling match, short of paper-cutting somebody in the eyes, right? He can't do, he can't say, well, I'm actually really... Bluffing would have been the closest. Yes. He could have tried to bluff, and he's like, oh, I'm really hurt. No, I'm not, because I'm a good bluffer. Got that from poker. He never even did that. No. But like that could have been a way that he could use his character. But other than that, you can't throw cards in a wrestler's face and it make any difference, as we saw here. It didn't work. Indeed. As a weapon. Stupid weapon. But Wendy Chu wanting to be asleep and being tired or being too tired for this is both a cool and, well, not cool, a funny and daft character choice, but in the Orange Cassidy comparison, is psychologically sound because she continues to lull, sleep lexicon, lull her opponent into a false sense of security, and then that's how she ends up winning the match. This is the Orange Cassidy psychology that, thanks to Cassidy, has become commonplace on mainstream North American television. So had she come around before Cassidy, it might have been a harder sell to what remains of NXT's audience. I think they will understand this for what it is.
Yeah.
The two worries I have with the Wendy Chu character, and I saw it more in the celebration of the win at the end with the card, is that WWE will supplant itself on her. She wasn't sat on her ass celebrating a roll-up, but this was a close approximation of that. And I don't have the faith in the team and Wendy Chu, with Wendy Chu involved, to continue to come up with spots. At the moment, every new sleeping spot is a novelty. I don't know how many of them they've got.
Oh, you said it's got a limited shelf life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, if anything, that's why I'm enjoying it as much as I am. Because I feel like I'm on holiday, and in a few weeks, Wendy Chu is going to be dead. And that's the churn. Like, lost to the churn. I really enjoyed this.
Persia brought us backstage, looking at her phone, looking at Instagram. Who's she looking at? When in comes Indi Hartwell, Dexter Lumis. Persia was looking at Duke Hudson's Instagram, apparently.
Where to from?
Ever since he got that haircut.
Yeah.
Indi says, well, watch out for him, he's trouble. And Dexter gives him a thumbs
down.
Can
really see his face underneath the fringe that he's got on.
And anyway, in comes Boris Johnson to ask for some relationship. That's what he's called, isn't he? With all that tag teams.
Johnson Boris, his partner.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Ask for relationship advice, and Indi says, shut up. Non-verbal communication is sexy, and...
I think consent is sexy.
Dexter looks at her, and she goes, oh, I can read what you're saying. Let's go to the hot tub, and Boris Johnson can't believe that there's a hot tub. Look, he tries it on Persia Parota, and she walks off saying, I'm into someone else, and he goes, oh, I am too. Her name's Caden Carter, but...
Brinks Jackson is an awful actor. He's an absolutely awful actor, and he's been given a storyline that requires a modicum of ability, like a romantic, will they, won't they? Like, you for these to work.
I hope they don't.
for any of these to work ever, you need to feel like, I've said this phrase already on this podcast, but you need to feel like you're fighting for somebody. Like I use Brian's words, you're fighting for their dreams, aren't you? Like, you want to see him get with the girl and all that sort of stuff. Back in the 90s, it was still okay to be an incel, so we were all fighting for Ross. You know? Glad that's all gone now. Glad that, like, media has figured that one out. Not in the world of NXT 2.0. This guy's a fucking loser, but you're supposed to want to...
It's so weird when, like, the chaser gets, like, a bird. Yeah. Like, when Ross got a bird, yeah. And, like, when Jim gets a bird, it's like, oh. I picture you just wanking yourself daft. Tears every night. That's always a nicer element to the
belong. Wanking yourself daft, that's where they belong. Yeah. On come Tuesdays and NXT.
Come Tuesdays.
He is nowhere near good enough for this storyline, which is nowhere near good enough for air.
Oh, this is absolutely dreadful, amateur. Like, the worst possible casting of something that has got nothing to do with professional wrestling at all. This is, like, staggeringly bad stuff.
I'm only just thinking about
out and out, isn't it?
Either out or summit.
Yeah.
Like, it's even stupider when you're thinking about it. I understand why they've done it, but when you really think about it, even stupider that you put them on screen with the last two people to get it over.
Yeah.
People are into Index, really into Index. And
Mom, can we have Index? We've got Index at home.
Seeing them next to each other like that, disastrous comparison.
Yeah, but if he did get the girl, you know what he would be? Chuffed a little mint balls. Right now, it's time for the Nikita Lyons vignette. She's the daughter of a bassist and a groupie. That's what she said. Her words, not mine. I'm just asking questions here. She talks about how all her experiences have led to now. She dropped some sick rhymes, and she says she's part of the NXT women's division now, and she attacks the ring like she attacks the track. The women better watch out for her roar.
It's just the new generation worst of. Like, do the best bits as well. Be the market leader in North American pro wrestling as well.
What the fucking kid in the Rumble?
Yeah.
What an awful, awful scene to invoke. A bassist and a groupie. Of everything that we have learned about the reality of that ugly, ugly world. And they think, perfect.
Yeah.
But like, if this character was actually a character and they'd like done some research around it or they'd spoke to experts in the field, this poor person would be like trauma laden. Her character would be that she goes to therapy all the time to deal with the awful things that were at the root of her parents' relationship, the disgusting power dynamic.
Give me something, boy.
Could she not just simply be a professional wrestler?
Imagine that.
With an attribute that you might exaggerate to sell as theatre, to market. My God. So she's a jazz singer and a...
So it's about the move she doesn't do. Is that what it's going to be?
So she's watched Moana.
She's like Tanahashi.
Yeah.
They've watched Moana and Soul and they've missed the point of both for the benefit of this.
I mean...
Star's Born.
How are they going to bury Encanto next week?
The one thing that struck me about...
I'll save that for the Zeitgeist Heist. They're going to have a character called Bruno, but nobody's allowed to mention him.
No, it's too current. I've got to think about these things. How long was the Star is Born out?
Like two, three
there
years.
There we go.
I'm a jazz singer or a rapper. Bit of both, maybe. Who knows? But like, you know, the cringe of Jessie J when she does her things.
Yeah, the noises.
That one.
Did you ever interview Jessie J on your radio? Did she feels like she?
I think I genuinely said I don't want to interview her.
You were like, I'm not interviewing her. She does funny voices.
So she's got this energy where it's like she's going, keep the same energy. And it's like,
Yeah, she did like an advert. She's like, dairy milk or whatever.
So what's it called, Nikita?
Nikita Lyons.
Nikita Lyons. Anyway, so she's very cringe. I've noticed something during this vignette. Matter of fact, I noticed too. They are so obsessed now. They are so obsessed with tits.
Oh man, Kevin Dunn gives me the creeps.
They are so obsessed with tits on this show. Like, the best wrestler I've ever goddamn seen in my life, but those are B cups. So unfortunately for you, you don't get the spot. They are so obsessed with tits and gratuitous bikini shots of Mandy Rose and tits, and all the guys are coming over at tits. Like, it's just so tit-based. NXT 2.0.
NXT.
NXT. NXT titties. They, I'm not joking, shot the tits of Nikita Lyons from the old Andre angle. What I mean by that is like the lowest possible shot. So Andre the Giant didn't merely look like he was 7.5 foot, whatever they build him as. He looked like a skyscraper. He looked like it hurt your neck to look at him because the angle was such...
He was having to duck under the roof of the building.
Yes.
That's how tall he looked, didn't he?
Her tits were like shot like this. It's so gratuitous. It is so not on. It's just like, right, okay, well.
Is that what it is? It's not paint splatter. It's just multicolored jizz.
What's a multicolored jizz?
I don't know.
It's the stuff that splattered all over the NXT 2.0 logo.
Also, whilst you're on the topic, in case I forget.
What, have you got a problem down there?
No, in case I forget.
It's come from the fiend.
It's so...
Firefly Cumhouse.
I forgot to mention earlier, there was a vignette before the match. I was going to mention it during the match, but there's a vignette for Draco Anthony, who we'd seen in a cafe or something a few weeks back. And the big thing for him was, he works out in the gym. Shouldn't everyone? What was that about? Like, what was the sell on Draco here when he was like, yeah, I'll put in the work? I was like, everyone should.
Well, you should probably get up at one instead of two because didn't really do much for you here, did it?
Yeah, let's talk about it, actually, because then we got the Saray Dakota Kai stuff that we've already mentioned. Then we got brilliant. Andre Chase versus Draco Anthony. And I thought, oh, here he comes, Andre Chase, to do his bit of patter and then get beaten, obviously, because that's what he does every single week. Nope, he beat him. Beat Draco Anthony, his debut. He did get some spots early in Andre Chase and yells in his face, it's a teachable moment. And he does the spelling out Chase U and the crowd pop for that. And Draco Anthony grabs the flag from Bodie Hayward, who was waving it at ringside, and stomps on it. And that's a red rag to a bull, that is. Andre Chase fires up, hammerlock flatliner, 1, 2, 3, gets a victory, and then shouts down the camera lanes that next week Von Wagner is going to get a Chase University size ass whooping. What was all this about, Sid?
I've got no earthly idea what the hell I watched here. Is Draco Anthony, is it?
Yeah.
Is he a dickhead for disrespecting the great name of Chase University?
He is in my eyes.
Did Andre Chase have it coming because he's a heel?
His alignment is all over the place.
I've got no idea what he is. I've got no idea this guy was trying to give him his comeuppance. And if he did, he's a geek. If he didn't, the sheer dissonance between this hard-working guy and some arsehole who'll do heat stuff. What is it?
I figured it out. What does Bruce Pritchard want to do next when it comes to... Well, and Kevin Dunn, when it comes to ruining the life of Triple H, what next? Nick Khan, all these wrestlers, loads of Triple H's, boys, girls, all getting fired on the spreadsheet. What can we get Nick Khan to do to Triple H next? What would be really funny? Let's get him to close down the Performance Center. So we'll film a vignette of a guy saying, I spend every night and day here in the Performance Center. It's the greatest facility in the goddamn world. And then he loses to the show's jobber. It's like, your gym sucks. Like, it's wired to a telly that Vince McMahon has never switched on. He lost the remote down the sofa.
Yeah.
Week one, he's never turned that TV on, ever. And it's costing us this many million a month to run, to heat, to power. And then, like, all of a sudden the costs appear on Nick Khan's spreadsheet. Boop, boop. He gets one of them little emails coming in his closed down Performance Center ?
It looks like you're trying to make more budget cuts. Clippy.
Triple H just watching. Triple H. Trippy.
It looks like you're trying to ruin my legacy.
It's a little animated GIF of Triple H's face. It opens up. Would you like to destroy my history?
Right, Mandy's still legging it from Kaylee Ray backstage. She goes into catering, and Kaylee Ray pops up from behind the desk, table, whatever it is, counter, and dumps some spaghetti on Mandy Rose's head. And then they go to do the... There's a cake there for some reason. They go to shove that in Mandy's face. It doesn't really go to black.
No, she knows all the cake.
I got a take on this. I was looking for this on YouTube to watch again before we reviewed, and I couldn't find it. And you know why that is, don't you? Because she bodged the spaghetti, she bodged the cake, and they've lost their gunge clicks.
Yeah.
This existed for gunge clicks. We've seen them all before, and the mess of the delivery. No, like she wasn't covered in the muck.
She's so, like Bret Hart chair shot.
Why did she
Except
put
her cake?
Yeah, I was going to say, why did she put her
made sense
up?
When Bret did that.
Yeah.
I mean, you would, but you shouldn't, because that's the guy.
Yeah. Mandy Rose with white stuff on her face. There's your thumbnail, basically. Except she put her hands up and the cake just fell on the floor.
It's funny you mentioned Brett. I tweeted this a little while ago, but it'll be digging around on Twitter. I can go and find it. It's an episode of Raw in 97 where Shawn Michaels has been announced as a guest referee in Brett's title match, and he's livid and he comes out to Vince. And he finds the sweet spot on Vince's headset, and he hits it. Vince's face doesn't get grazed, and the headset goes flying.
It's awesome.
It is incredible. Like, Brett's the best at everything. There's always a sweet spot, and Brett would always find it. Like, Kaylee Ray couldn't find one in a 6-foot cake.
I know.
Like, you know, I like Kaylee Ray, but, well, like, she's a wrestler. She's not a cake thrower, so this is not a dig at her, but, like, it's a big cake.
It's not her fault. Mandy Rose put her hands up and knocked it out of her hands.
Well, yeah, they couldn't find the sweet spot on a cake and a bucket of spaghetti.
I guarantee there was a split second where I thought Mandy Rose is going to scoop up some cake and put it in her face. Because, like, she's scrabbling around on the floor. And I was like, if that camera turns to face Kaylee Ray, she's going to go, right, let's get some stuff on the old face. But anyway, she legged it out of there. We'll catch up with this after the main event, which was Bron Breakker and Old Man Ciampa versus Legado del Fantasma. Bron Breakker comes in early on. Gator roll to set up a delayed suplex on Joaquin Wilde. Ciampa gets Mendoza up, and they hit it at the same time. Thought that looked nice. Santos Escobar is there at ringside. He interferes, sends Breakker crashing into the ring steps as he's taken out of the ring at one point, and the heels work over Breakker. Eventually gets to the corner. Hot tag to Ciampa, who comes in and cleans house. Ciampa catapulted Joaquin Wild into a spine buster by Breaker. Nice little teamwork there as well. Escobar jumps up on the apron, distracts Breaker, and that allows Mendoza to hit him with a missile dropkick and then execute a beautiful-looking Phoenix splash for a two count. Mendoza then missed a springboard and gets smashed with a spear from Breaker. Joaquin Wild gets involved, breaks up the subsequent pin attempt. There was a spot in here, I can't remember exactly where it was, where I think it was Mendoza got sent into the corner, and he sort of kicked off the turnbuckle and ended up on the apron. I thought it looked spectacular. But in amongst all this, Joaquin Wild climbs up to the top turnbuckle and gets shoved off it by Ciampa and crashes through the announce desk. That leaves Mendoza isolated. Breaker lifts him up, gorilla press, drops him down into a power slam. 1, 2, 3. Santos Escobar can't believe what he's seen. Ciampa and Breaker dominate Legado del Fantasma.
They did dominate, right? But I loved this match in a way that I didn't expect, which was I assumed when this feud started that, and it's because we've seen it before, so I thought they'd just follow the template. I assumed that, like, Fantasma would be nothing more than goons, just human hurdles, basically, for Bron Breakker to get to Santos Escobar and to build that match. They gave them just enough, and it's that spot that you pointed out, but it's the, like, quite entertaining, like, albeit small, heat segment they had in this match to make them credible enough that when Ciampa and Breakker burst through and beat them emphatically, it didn't feel like a piss about. It didn't feel like a protracted squash. It felt like Breakker and Ciampa had worked it. They continue to get Bron Breakker so right. When I was watching this, I was thinking, well, if Ciampa stuck that down there, it's almost a shame now that they seem to have... They know where they're going with the Dusty Cup. Because I started to imagine, oh, a team gets injured and in step Breakker and Ciampa as an odd couple. And then on the same night, I know they're not called takeovers anymore, but like they do that thing where Breakker works twice. You know what they did with Adam Cole that time? Yeah. Breakker, he wins the Dusty Cup and he wins his individual match because that's just a cool way to get a guy over because they're getting Breakker so right. And I quite like this tag team. I like that he's got old man Ciampa for these difficult situations going forward, you would assume now. I love this Breakker run. I just love it. I buy the character. I like the matches. I like thinking of the other combinations beyond what we're getting next, which I think will also be a good match. I'm just earnest. It's boring, this. I'm just earnestly into it.
Yeah, I care, which is a thing I don't often say about, you know, there's fun characters that I like that we often mention, but I care about Breakker. There was a bit where he hit the pinfall and then immediately grabbed his shoulder. Mm. And I dropped my arse a bit. I was like, no, please don't let him be injured. Because, like, this is just, like you say, just taking off for him. And they're getting him so right, Sige.
Yes, mostly. There's still the... Bron Breakker, his best stuff, makes you go, whoa, look at that. Like, standing and pace and all that kind of stuff. He still can't really draw any emotion from me when he's on the cell.
Mm-hmm.
That'll come. Calm Tuesday. Everything comes. Everything will come.
Everybody comes.
Everybody comes.
Tuesday.
There's a bit though, like when Breakker is allowed to not do the WWE babyface thing, which he can. It's kind of listless whenever I see him doing it because he can just see that he just wants to get to the fireworks factory. When he's not doing that, he's awesome. And it's a bit when he's doing a deadlift. Mm. Suplex, but it's the one where they did the stereo one. The way he transitioned into doing that when he's like just flipping all over the place.
Greater rolling,
looks awesome. It's great. But yeah, when he sells, I'm still not convinced by what he's doing.
That's
at all.
Fair. But yeah, also shout out to Wild and Mendoza because, like you say, this was a on paper a relatively straightforward squash as we talked about. You know, can they coexist? Yes, they will be able to because we've got Santos Escobar coming up at the pay per view or the takeover. Or, Vengeance Day.
good agenting. It was like there was good agenting.
And you know, Wild took an insane bump through, you know, off the turnbuckle through the announce table. And I thought Mendoza, that Phoenix splash and the and whatever it was, I don't know what it's called, the bouncing off the turnbuckle to the apron, thought he looked mint. I really am a fan of theirs. And I think Legado del Fantasma are just great, even though they're not getting any titles anytime soon. Anyway, the close of the show sees Kaylee Ray chasing Mandy Rose out to the ring. They brawl in there. Kaylee Ray just batters her and gets on the mic and says, I don't want to wait till Vengeance Day. I want my title match next week. Mandy Rose agrees. Kaylee Ray puts down the bat, agrees to put down the bat if Mandy Rose agrees. And then she just hits Mandy Rose with a gory bomb and stands tall with the women's title belt over Mandy Rose ahead of next week.
Is that a sci-fi thing? Do they believe that they're going to I was going to say they're going to take a pound in the ratings. It can't get any worse. But do they? Is that move for ratings reason or something? Because I can't see why. Otherwise, you would expedite that. It's not going to draw, is it?
But the actual Vengeance Day is on Sci-Fi as well.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Oh, hang on then. So they've got the title match next week and then something else theoretically for Vengeance Day, or they've just deemed that Vengeance Day is going to be too full.
I think they've just realised we need something for the one that isn't this branded thing that we might get a decent amount of retention. So I think they've just decided.
They've overestimated the buzz then.
Yep.
So next week, maybe in 2 weeks, they're thinking two Dusty Cup finals. They might just do semi-finals for the women's.
They might get the normal retention that they usually get with like some theoretically or nominally big matches and the branding of a big show. And then they're probably thinking, oh, Christ, we need something for this other week. Otherwise, we're going to die. So I think this is the something for the other week.
Yeah. Well, let us know your thoughts on this week's episode of NXT 2.0 on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. But make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including our best podcast of the week, the NXT Preview, which will be back on... come Tuesday next week. And we'll be back later on today with the AEW Dynamite preview, of course. But for now, this has been the NXT 2.0 review. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.